Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. It's Chris here.
And I'm Syl.
And Happy New Year, Leafs Nation, to all our listeners. We hope you had a wonderful holiday season. It was a good one for us, I think. Was it good, Syl?
It was okay.
Yes, it was. It was all right. It's kind of cold today in Toronto, but we're going to warm you up here with our episode of Leaf Talk.
Yes, and the gift giving is not over yet because our holiday giveaway contest just ended. And on our next episode, we are actually going to be announcing the winner. So again, we want to thank our friends at Summer Fresh for partnering with us. Summer Fresh salads, hummus, and dips make women's lives easier by providing healthy, quick options for moms to have in their homes for snacks, lunches, and entertaining, and will make your weeknight meals simple.
So we want to also thank Damian Cox, and one lucky listener is going to get a copy of Damian's new book, A League of Our Own, the story of the NHL's first all-Canadian division, and $50 in Summer Fresh coupons to try their delicious food products.
Yeah, so that's definitely going to be exciting for one lucky winner. Another exciting bit of news that our listeners and social media followers have most likely seen is our new website. Finally we got it up. So another place to visit us and interact with us. And we're going to be rolling out more and more content on there for you. And of course, we'll let you know when we have new things there for you to check out. But we want to thank Ryan Gaynor from Boxcar Media for his wonderful photography. And as I said, we're going to be updating it with content and would love to hear from you with your feedback.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting for us to finally get that up and going. It takes a lot of work. And we look forward to bringing you lots of additional Leaf content, anything we can think of. And if you have any ideas, let us know. LadiesTalkingLeafs@gmail.com. And when it comes to feedback as well, we want to give a shout out to another Ryan Thompson, who's a Leaf fan living in Georgia. So he tweeted to say that he is loving our show and can't wait for the next one. And that is just, I just thought that was fantastic. All the way from Georgia.
So Ryan, this episode is for you. And we're so glad that you are loving our show. Anyway, as we're talking about, we definitely want to interact with you. So if you have any thoughts on our show, or if you have any Leaf-related question that you want us to discuss or give your thoughts on, please contact us on social media or email us at ladiestalkinleafs@gmail.com. So December was a tough month for the NHL and for hockey, obviously, and the world in general. So for this episode, we're changing it up a bit. It's the first episode of the new year, so we are going to start with the best of 2021 LTL highlight reel, and then we're going to get into some Leaf talk, and then we're going to end it off with our third period segment, where we're going to talk a bit about everything, including some Leaf prospects and the now canceled World Juniors. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so the best of 2021 Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. So we're just going to pick our top three here from our highlight reel of last all of calendar year 2021.
Yeah, so it's kind of a weird grab bag because of all the weird things that happened, but feels like a lifetime ago. But anyways.
So let's start off with my number three. I took a different direction a little bit in this, but my number three moment from our highlight reel was Nick Foligno and Joe Thornton on our May 5th episode from season two. It's all about the playoffs. And I picked it because it's the only time they appeared on our highlight reel. And both of these players, they never had the chance of really feeling like being a Leaf with the fans, basically, like that connection, because none of us saw them like in person live to watch.
Did it really happen? Were they really on our team?
Yeah. I mean, Thornton was there the whole season, the shortened season, obviously, whereas Nick Foligno was really, it was really short, and he unfortunately got injured too. In the playoffs or going into the playoffs. But so that was my number three. What was your number three?
My number three, this is a player that I talk about often, was the game where, it was from season to episode 8, and it was in, we recorded that one in February 2021, so not long after things kind of started off in the North Division, and it was regarding Spezza's hat trick versus Vancouver. This guy is just, he has just proven so much that he wants it so bad. And he's so skilled still, and he can still skate. I'm like just so impressed with this guy.
Well, he's even better this season.
Yeah, I know.
It's can believe it's ridiculous.
So I know. So yeah. So that was yeah. That I kind of it was yeah. actually kind of fun going back to all of these things. In our post episodes,
the mini series.
Yeah, remember some of these things
too.
Yeah,
yeah,
and yeah. So that's my number three.
All right, so moving on to number two. Number two for me was William Nylander. And it was just so funny how this happened. It's a combination of two highlight reel moments. One from our season 2, March 17th episode. Hold on, Leafs Nation, it was called. And then the other one is from this season, our November 17th episode, where we're Keith's cranking the November line blender episode. And in both of those cases, I didn't realize this, but both of those cases, Willie was benched. And right after that, he went on a point.
That is really, really interesting comparison.
In two different seasons.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show you how Keith needs to light a fire under him every now and again, and that it works. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely like it just shows you it's like a total different time in the two different seasons, and he just it lit a fire under him both times, and he goes on point streaks. And the one in March, I think it was like a 5-game one, and then this one here was a bit longer.
I have to say so we're recording this on January 3rd, which is a Monday, and so on Saturday night's game versus Ottawa, and he scored those two goals that night. His demeanor is very much the all business Willie again. Like, did you notice that? Like, he did not celebrate.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's sort of looked like he's on a mission again. And he seems to play the best when he is a little bit mad somehow, I guess, about something. I don't know. But I thought that was interesting.
All right.
So my
What's your number two?
Maybe, I don't know, this could be higher up, but is Jack Campbell. You know, with the record that he set for his 11th win, which is a franchise and NHL record. And we talked about that in season 2, episode 13. So that was my pick.
The thing that we most remember from that is that moment with Marner where he was counting, right?
I know, that's what made me think of it, actually.
Two, three.
When I was trying to think of, I wanted to look that up because the way the team, that's part of the reason why I chose it, is not just because he has the record, but because it was just a microcosm of the way the team just celebrated him so much, you know, like in the guy he is, right? So I thought that was a pretty special moment overall.
And he's got to hand it to him because, I mean, I'm a Freddie fan, obviously, still am. And actually, tonight he would have been returning,
so
but sadly, it's not going to happen. Hopefully, it'll happen, I guess, later on in the season with these postponed games. But Jack Campbell has continued it into this season. He's been fantastic. The only thing we have to worry about now is the salary cap and
that's
signing
it
again, which is another topic of discussion. But all right. So moving on to number one. Number one for me was Austin Matthews. And it wasn't actually a particular moment because there were just so many times he made our highlight reel. It's a cumulative moment, I guess is how I put it, just winning the Rocket Richard trophy. I kind of feel bad for him because it's like, it's the first time he won the trophy. And it's just like, I don't know. It just didn't come with the usual excitement and all the
fanfare
and ceremony that comes with it or whatever, you know, when you go to Vegas and they have the big show there for the NHL awards. And, Yeah. And, but I mean, the guy in 2021 for the calendar year, he scored the most goals in the NHL with 62 mm-hmm. for the calendar year. So, I mean, the guy is a pure goal scorer. He does everything.
And that's actually with losing some games too, with to injury too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In both seasons. But and playing with the wrist issue. For most of last season. He had the wrist issue,
just
right?
Think and about still, that. Like if he was 100%, what could have been? Yeah. Anyway, definitely he is very, very deserving. And
what's your number one?
Which is very meaningful, especially considering the current climate we're in right now, was about being back at Scotiabank Arena for the start of this season. And I have to say, given what we're dealing with right now, how special that was, how special I think it was for the players also to be playing in front of crowds mm-hmm. again, and how grateful I am that we got to do that. And I hope that we get to go back again, not too far down the road.
Yeah, no, that's why, I don't know, I guess we stuck around at the end of games. Some people would know on our Instagram and on our Facebook, we've been posting after games like 3 stars. Like sometimes in previous years, like we watch to the end of the game and then we take out, like when we go to the games and then we don't necessarily always stick around at the end, but we wanted to stick around in this case because just wanted to take it all in because look at us now. Again, we're not able to go. So, it's special to be back and to just to be in that environment. And you just have it's just a different feeling to be
absolutely.
There. Yeah. So, all right. So we got through that and now we're going to get into some Leaf talk, specific Leaf talk to what's going on now. But before we do that, we want to once again thank our sponsors of our holiday giveaway, Summer Fresh. Summer Fresh products are available in the refrigerated deli section of your favorite grocery store. Visit summerfresh.com to learn more about their products and fantastic recipe ideas. Now, because of the COVID situation creating the chaos for the NHL and the world, there isn't a lot of game-related news with the Leafs, but of course we always find something. And in fact, there's only one game. We didn't even think we'd have one game, but yeah. So
we'll start with the one game that the Leafs have played since December 14th. They had 14 players and 7 staff hit with COVID, and most were back for the game versus the Sens this past Saturday on New Year's Day, which was a convincing 6-0 win. That's the win that Chris was looking for, a real beatdown of the Sens. That's what we're hoping for. Yeah. So the Leafs were rolling going into the unexpected longer Christmas break, and they were playing well with a record of 28-2. I was kind of surprised watching that game on Saturday that given the fact that they had so many players out with COVID, I didn't think they were going to have as much jump as they did. And I thought that I would see, I mean, obviously there were some moments, but they seemed to play pretty consistently and, the score pretty much showed it. It seems like Ottawa was the team that didn't seem as prepared to play 60.
I don't know. They were saying that Ottawa was depleted. I mean, they're not.
Yeah.
Let's face it, they're not that great of a team to begin with, but they normally give us a problem.
Yeah.
The Senators do, and they always have that energy, but they just didn't seem to have it on Saturday. And on Twitter, some people were saying, even us, that we look like we're playing an exhibition game, but I don't know. I didn't think that. I mean, I don't think it was their best game of the year, but
I expected it would be worse, personally.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. But I thought it was a good game, considered they were both of the teams were off just over 2 weeks from not playing a game at all. And Mikheyev, the soup man, came back with he had an awesome game. I loved that. And I showed him speed and he scored the 2 goals. Like, that's a miracle.
Yeah. Well,
for him.
Do you think that, okay, we've been saying all along that we're hoping he can put it together and actually, you know, get it in the net. It's not like he didn't have chances yeah. last year, but, you know, he was coming off the wrist injury last year. Now he had the yeah. thumb issue. I don't know. I wonder, you know, fixing all that up, if finally he's got his accuracy back because things are actually fixed in that area in his wrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not maybe, to mention, but, I mean, think he's on a mission also. Like, he's definitely wanting to show something yeah. now.
Yeah. Yeah. And he got some power play yeah. time too. Which
sounds like
good
pretty
to see.
Excited about
power
that
play
too.
Goal. Yeah. Yeah. And now that, unfortunately, we heard the bit of news just before we came onto the podcast that Austin Matthews, I guess on a rapid test, he tested mm-hmm. positive for COVID. So they precautionary took him out of practice. But Mikheyev with that, I guess they moved him up the lineup to play with Willie and Kerfoot mm-hmm. at center. And they put at practice. And then JT was with Marner and Bunting on the top line just to take JT right. took Matthew's spot or whatever. But yeah, so hopefully they had to take another PCR test, I guess, to make sure that everything is good. And that'll be known before Wednesday's game, obviously. But hopefully it's not, he hasn't got that again, but it basically has gone through our whole team.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure, Marner hasn't really been around them mm-hmm. until now. And because he came back from injury and Bunting hasn't had it either. So those are really the only two players that I could see that it hasn't hit so far.
Did Kasha have
the lineup? Or oh no, Kasha. That's yeah. right. Yeah. Kemp yeah. had it though. But Kasha yeah. didn't, yeah. So anyhow, those are the we don't want to talk too much about the COVID thing. It's depressing. Mm-hmm. So we'll move back to this. But going back to Mikheyev though, like you said, he's like really trying to prove himself, and that's what he was doing back in training camp too before he got injured. So it's going to be interesting going into the trade deadline.
That's
because
right.
I think, yeah, because he's something's going to have to be done because Richie was the odd man out the other day. And I don't know. Keefe seems to be impressed with him. I'm not impressed still, but Keefe seems to like Nick Richie in the game that he's brought recently. Not so much earlier in the season, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see who's going to be out versus the Oilers, whether it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be Mikheyev because he played good and he's been like, he's just come back from injury. Will it be Engvall?
Who knows?
Your yeah. favorite player?
Good question.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing, I guess, just to note for the schedule, the Leafs so far have had 8 games postponed. And it'll suck with the Oilers game when Hyman returns because it's going to, of course, going to be with no fans.
I wonder
there, so that's going to be crappy.
I wonder if they'll still do a video pack for him.
I don't know.
For that night.
I don't know. They should wait,
I think.
There's
fans there to appreciate him? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I think they should wait, but I don't know. It's up to them, I guess. And hoping the majority of these games can be played during that 2-week period where the Olympics were supposed to happen.
I mean, there's still so much that's unknown and kind of on the fly because like we still don't even know like if you know Canadian teams are going to go on like an extended road trip and just, you know, play games in the States,
I think,
right?
So well, the Leafs have a lot of road games coming up. I mean, and they said that in January they only have like 2 or 3 games at home, I think. They don't have a lot. I know that. They have the Islanders, the Devils. Those are the two that I remember.
And I still think there's a question as to whether some games are going to get outright canceled, too, depending on whether or not they
have
time to, you know, get all of them in.
Yeah. But they have, they have, depending on what the situation is as we get into February, mm-hmm. and the NHL is adamant that they want fans mm-hmm. in the building. They want the revenue. That's what they want. And all the revenue, of course, we know is coming from the Canadian teams. And the most revenue is coming from the Leafs.
Yep.
Yep. So that's just a fact. And they want that revenue. So hopefully it gets done. But Moving along, we got, because of this COVID situation, of course, we got the Taxi Squad. The Taxi Squad is back for now. Just to give you, the listeners, a bit of detail, for now it's back until the All-Star break, supposed to be, which is still going on in Vegas. The weekend of February 4th and 5th is the All-Star break. So, yeah, so some rules that go with the Taxi Squad. The teams are allowed 6 players on the Taxi Squad. If a team cannot ice 12 forwards, 6 defensemen, or 2 goalies, they can use a player without officially removing a player from their roster or anyone having to clear waivers.
So as of today, there are only 3 players on the Leafs Taxi Squad. So it was Michael Hutchison, Alex Biega, and Teemu Kivalme. And we're still questioned as to whether or not he's been sent back to the Marlies or he's still with the club. We're not sure. There's kind of conflicting reports
today.
There. So anyway, this list is obviously going to be changing. And the reason why there's only 2 players on the Leafs Taxi Squad is probably because teams can only keep players on the Taxi Squad list for a maximum of 20 days. So they probably don't want to use up all of that time, especially right now when things are sort of like in flux. So,
And the Marlies were hit hard by COVID too. So,
they need everybody they can get as well.
Exactly. Yeah, they need these players to be back to playing. They can't be just sitting on the Taxi Squad. They need to get in some games. So some other players I think that might get on the Taxi Squad at some point are Kyle Clifford, that Alex Steeves kid, and Philip Kroll, the defenseman. And then maybe even Josh Hosang, you never know.
He might be going to the Olympics.
Going to the Olympics. So there's a rumor there. So I don't know. But so that's the Taxi Squad situation. That's a very fluid one that's going up and down every day. You can check on, if you check on capfriendly.com, they have all the updates for the who's on the Taxi Squad on a daily basis and who's not.
Because, I mean, there's lots of cap considerations too going forward. So it's always interesting information there. So another thing that we want to talk about, which somebody who we haven't had the opportunity to talk about for a while, which is Mitch Marner. So the Leafs star forward was on LTIR recovering from a shoulder injury, and he hasn't played a game since December 1st. So LTIR requires that the player sit out for at least 10 games or 24 days. But then once again, COVID came into the picture and in a way to the rescue, and several games have been postponed, and many teams, including the Leafs, have lobbied for the postponed games to count against the LTIR. So yes, Marner's back, and that's a good thing, and he was able to recuperate.
It
kept him away from the team, like you said, which sort of is protective
and he played pretty good on versus the Sens. He had 19 minutes, just over 19 minutes ice time. He played on the power play, and you really notice him too on the PK. It's just like there's just something, and even with Mikheyev too, like he does had PK minutes, and it's good to have him back, and you could see that Matthews too on the bench, there was like they were chatting and having good time sort of thing, right? So you could see they're back in their mojo, and so hopefully Mitch will start basically getting some points the way he did before. He's going to be playing if Matthews is out for any reason for this COVID thing. He's going to be playing with JT, which he's also used to sort of thing. So that'll be good for him.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. So it's good that we have something positive for Leafs going into 2022 when it comes to injuries. But there are a few other events where it has been not so great news, and we're going to talk about all of that in the third period.
Yeah, so the third period, we got some, it's some good news, I guess, with the world, well, not good news first, with the World Juniors being canceled, unfortunately. It's a huge bummer for the young players that came from around the world for this yearly event. And
many of them are still stuck here and can't even go home. Like, that's just a horrible situation.
But for many of those young players, it's the only time they'll be on this big of a a big state right. like that, right? So, but we also want to point out on a positive with the three Leaf prospects in the who the organization and the fans are hoping will be prominent future Leafs. So the first one is Topi Niemelä, who's a right shot D, 19 years old. He was named the top defenseman at the 2020 World Juniors, so last year's World Juniors. So, and then there's Matthew Knies.
That's, you said it right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Matthew Knies, he's a left winger, 19 years old, Arizona born. Another one from Arizona, which is good. Power forward style player that we don't really have in our lineup. So that's good. And he apparently, according to Haley Wickenheiser, she said that he plays a little bit like Shane Doan.
Well, that's all right to pattern your play after.
Yeah, not a bad thing. Yeah. And then Roni Hirvonen. Mm-hmm. So he's a center from the Finnish team as well. 19 years old, named Finland's team captain. And again, in Haley Wickenheiser's words, very responsible player. That's what she said. So
we like that in our players, don't we? Considering D is important.
And he gets used in all types of situations. So they all have upside from what I read. And
especially that Topi Niemelä, like he, even in just the short amount of time, like you can see the guy's got an incredible hockey IQ for such a young player.
Yeah.
And
that's what I was going to say. Out of the three, I think Niemelä is the one that shows a lot of promise. Like, yeah. And I saw one article too saying that he should be an untouchables prospect unless he's being traded for Connor McDavid.
That's interesting. I don't really see that happening, or the Oilers thinking that that's near enough anyway. But it'll be definitely interesting to watch his ascension and see what happens next season, you know, when he comes to camp and see if he can even maybe crack the lineup. But that would be interesting.
Yeah, he just, from what I read too, he just signed another year to go back to with Finland. So
well, that's the other
that. But he was actually a third round draft pick, though. So he was drafted
that's
late.
That's the other thing, though. So that's interesting is that, you know, he's been playing with men for 3 years already, right? So that's pretty good. And will pretty much set him up well to, you know, take that step probably a little quicker than some kids that haven't been playing, you know, professional yet, kind of thing, right?
Yeah. And he's playing on Karpat. Hopefully I pronounced that on the team in the
we'll
Finnish
go with
Liga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's in a three-way tie for 10th in points in the entire league.
As a defenseman.
So, yeah, that's pretty good for a 19-year-old.
I'll take it.
Playing with, so those are the three guys that... at the World Juniors, unfortunately, we only saw them in a game or two, but those are the three guys to look out for future reports for our listeners.
Okay, so on to the next not-so-great news. we're going to talk a little bit about the fact that the NHL is now no longer going to the Olympics. I don't even know what to think about this anymore. I mean, obviously, it's the prudent thing to do given the situation right now. It's definitely interesting, and a lot of players have been voicing some strong opinions about this.
I know. And actually, before we came on the show, I read an article that Bettman has actually been lobbying. It makes sense that he's been trying to do this, but to change hockey to be a summer sport in the Olympics.
They've talked about that for years, actually, because it makes more sense for the schedule. Like, they don't have to interrupt their schedule. Yeah. Then it would be a no-brainer than they would be going. And it's interesting because... Yeah. Basketball is traditionally the NBA plays in the winter months, but guess what? They are part of the Summer Olympics.
True.
So,
yeah.
But I
yeah.
guess because skating is associated with cold and winter
and ice,
that is what the reason why, you know, they.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a hard, no for the, from the, Olympic committee, but but I just didn't realize, like, I knew like a lot of players definitely wanted to go and to be there, but I just didn't realize that the ideas that were coming up from some of the players, like retiring from the NHL and then going to the Olympics, like giving the choice for the player to retire, go over to the Olympics, play, and then come back and resign. Like, I don't know. I thought, I couldn't believe that players like I don't know if Brad Marchand actually came up with that, but he seemed to be one of the more vocal players, and Connor Hellebuck as well from the, and I understand that.
For some players, like this could be their last chance, you know, like for example, like if you look at Tavares, you know, he's a guy that hasn't, he's made the teams in the past, but he hasn't had the best of luck when it comes to being able to go or being able to participate from injuries or whatever, right? So they don't have that many opportunities left to be able to go and represent their country on that big stage. So
and you look at Steven Stamkos too.
He's definitely
never,
I don't know. I wonder about that guy's karma. I don't know if he made a deal with the devil or something somewhere, but that guy's got the worst luck. I mean, we can't feel too sorry for him because he has like two Stanley Cup rings. But
for me, I like the best on best, the international tournaments. I remember going to, the Canada Cup and the, and so I hope, like Connor McDavid, I think was saying last week, like he's hoping that something gets created, whether it be like another World Cup or something in between, like to try and get that best on best competition. But I don't know, we'll see what happens. They're not going to Beijing this time. And
well, I mean, given how far that is, first of all, and the type of strict measures, and I mean, the players, I don't even think realize what they would be in for, frankly, to go there. They could go there and be like totally regretting it after, going, what the hell did I just sign up for? You know, there's a lot of variables that can't be controlled right now. So
And then another crappy thing that happened was the cancellation in December of the women's under 18 tournament. The International Ice Hockey Federation canceled that tournament for the second year in a row. Which was crappy. So I just don't know with that. I just don't know how the IIHF expects for the women's game to grow and improve if they keep like canceling these are like their only significant events for the women, with true, like competition. And I also read too, and it's true, it takes away from women getting like scholarships and sponsorships
100%
by doing that.
And basically you're signaling to the world that women's hockey is not as important. And guess what?
Yeah.
That basically you are, you know, that's what you're teaching people. That is not important.
Yeah,
so therefore, people don't jump on to watch women's hockey as much, because you're basically telling them that it's not worth watching and it's an easy cancel. And that's just ridiculous, because the other thing I'm going to be watching too is that they did cancel the World Junior Tournament for the boys. If they find a way to reschedule that and they don't do that for the women's tournament, that is just, just ridiculous. Yeah. And I know it's got to do with money, because the boys teams, they have more money, but even they are, you know, strapped, and it was a super expensive situation, for getting the teams to come over here in the first place. But that's the issue, is that I think they need to be looking at, you know, different and more funding streams for the women's game, then, if they're just going to chalk it up to dollars, because that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, he was kind of backtracking on saying that is totally the head of the IIHF. He was kind of backtracking, I guess, because of the fact the the men's game was canceled, or the men's tournament or under 18 tournament was canceled. So he was kind of trying to paint a different picture for the women, saying, oh, like they might be able to do something, right? So anyways, we'll see what happens. But I also read another article, and it's very true that like the women give up a lot of their time to do this, to focus on being the best. And it just doesn't seem that the IIHF has that same dedication to the women. Like it's not a reciprocal
100%.
Thing. Yeah. So it's not good, but hopefully they get somewhere. There are a lot of places, that have come up somewhere, like towns in mm-hmm. Ontario or, like to offer.
But that's the thing is that people are offering and it's not being, you know, they're just not being creative. It just seems like it's too easy for them to make this decision, and it shouldn't be that easy. So, anyways,
so that's that.
So
that's that.
That is that, unfortunately. So I guess we will be definitely watching these stories and how they evolve. But before we go, we're getting ready to wrap up the show here. So we just want to remind you that we will be announcing the winner of our holiday giveaway on our next episode. So definitely tune in for that to see if you're a winner, if you entered. And our sponsor, Summerfresh, is a Canadian family-owned and operated company. The founder and CEO, Susan Nuchowski, started Summerfresh 30 years ago in her mother's kitchen with her family's recipes using real ingredients that can be found in your kitchen. She always believed in super fresh quality and uncompromising flavor. And that is really obvious if you had the privilege to try any of her yummy, yummy items.
Yes, they're really good. And we want to, again, thank our friends at Summerfresh for partnering with us. And just a quick note to our Spotify listeners. In December, Spotify introduced podcast ratings on their app. So from any show page, you can simply tap and give us a rating. How easy is that?
Mm-hmm. Super easy.
If you can give us a rating. Yeah, no, you just, the little three dots at the top of our show page, you click on the three dots and there's going to be an option there to give us a rating. So, so please do that if you can. And also, as always, you can stay updated on everything to do with the Leafs by following us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917.
And another way to connect with us is at Ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can also support us and buy us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. Find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And we want to thank our healthcare workers and for everything that they do. Thank you for listening. And you can now listen to us also from our website, ladiestalkingleafs.com, or you can find us on your favorite app, Apple, Spotify, and we're also on YouTube and Facebook podcasts. So no excuse. You can find us everywhere. We're basically
That's
everywhere.
That's right. So in the meantime, everybody stay safe and well, and we'll be back for another great year of Ladies Talking Leafs for you in 2022. Go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs, go!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.